Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is September 24th. I'm Steven Masso. As always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, guys, one thing that I can consistently do for some reason is mess up the date when I begin the episode. You have no idea how many times I mess up the date. So what I've decided to do is I'm going to be collecting all these messed up files that I typically delete of me messing up the date, and I'll have a blooper reel for you guys because it is pretty remarkable how I'm able to mess up the date even though I have it directly in front of me. So today's date, September 24th, and this episode is going to be one discussing news from around the NFL this past week of games, the major headlines out there. What I've decided to do is kind of breeze by some of the games and put more emphasis on some of the main headlines because I don't want this episode to drag out to like 40 some minutes, which it seems like the other ones did. If you guys prefer that, send a message and I'll gladly revert back to doing what I was doing. But in this episode, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to speed through a few of these games, but still touch on some of the main headlines from across the NFL. But before we discuss that, I want to give a shout out to Devon Dolphin, or maybe it's Devon Dolphin on Twitter, who has been giving me love since I began this podcast, basically always sending these words of support, telling me how I did a good job and sharing the word, trying to spread the news about the podcast. It means a lot. Big shout out to Devon or Devon Dolphin. I need to get that clarified, but again, big shout out to you. It really does mean a lot. Now, we dive into the games from around the NFL. We have to start off with the first one, the big one, the Daniel Jones first start, big comeback, arrival kind of game for the New York Giants. The Giants won this game by a score of 32-31, and it was mostly in part to Daniel Jones just having a terrific debut. Now, when it comes to Daniel Jones, I was very big on him in the preseason, but I cannot lie. When the draft occurred, I was one of the people that was laughing and in a way mocking the Giants for what they did, for selecting him so early in the draft. It was a shocker to me. I was one of the people that compared him to Ryan Tannehill, and I just said that he was not one of my favorite quarterback prospects. So I'm not somebody who is going to be stuck in my own ways. I'm going to admit I was wrong and say that I am quite a fan of Daniel Jones's game right now. I know there's a ton of people out there that will just die. They'll go to the grave with their opinion. There's probably still people looking at Patrick Mahomes looking for any little mistake because they were very down on him in the draft and they just want to be right about it. I'm not someone who wants to live my life that way, and I don't want to report my own opinions in that way either. So when it comes to this, I will gladly admit I was wrong. I'm big on Daniel Jones right now. I am back on the hype train. Even if he doesn't pan out, I will go back and say that I was wrong. But as of right now, Daniel Jones looks very good. He finished his game 22-36, 336 yards passing. He had 2 touchdowns in the air, and he had 2 touchdowns rushing, including one at the end of the game to seal this win for the New York Giants. So it was a very big game from Daniel Jones. Now, when I looked at him in this game, he looked very similar to how he did in the preseason. If you listen back then you remember that I was very impressed by his decision making, his quick release, his ability to take what was given to him, but just make these quick, accurate reads. That was his thing. He doesn't have this cannon of an arm. He's not doing these magical playmaking showcases like Patrick Mahomes is and like Lamar Jackson is. He is very Tom Brady-esque in the fact that he is making very quick reads, he's delivering the ball accurately, and he's playing mistake-free football. Now, he did have 2 fumbles in this game, and they were both pretty big. His pocket presence wasn't as good as I would hope, but he was willing to stay in there. He wasn't really bouncing around too much. He was taking hits if he had to, but most importantly, he was delivering these very accurate balls to the right person, it seemed like, a majority of the time. So my comparison, I know I just said Tom Brady, but he also looked very Tannehill-esque, so that could be what his floor is. And don't get me wrong, if someone says that your floor is Ryan Tannehill, that at the very least that's what you're going to be, that is a compliment to hear. Ryan Tannehill was not a scrub, as much as people want to say. I was very down on him with Miami, but even then, I recognized what he was. He was a middle-of-the-pack guy. He could still get your franchise wins and get them deep if the team is built around him. That's what Ryan Tannehill was in Miami. He was not a scrub. He was a middle-of-the-pack guy. So if that is what Daniel Jones's floor is, then that is pretty remarkable of a pick for the Giants to get. That is somebody who could become even more than that. If your floor is Ryan Tannehill, that is no knock on you. That is something very good to hear. And this was just a very good showing from Daniel Jones. Now, it must also be said that Saquon Barkley had an ankle sprain that will likely sideline him for at least a few weeks. Now, he is saying that he is not going to miss the season, but it did look like a very devastating injury. Of course, the offense is kind of built around Saquon Barkley, so I'm very curious to see how the offense maneuvers around his loss. But I will say that Daniel Jones did a good job at spreading the wealth around to different receivers. Evan Ingram, it looks like, is his favorite target right now. He had 8 targets, 6 catches for 113 yards, including one huge monster 75-yard touchdown. Another guy, Sterling Shepard, he was always regarded as a middle-of-the-pack kind of receiver in terms of fantasy. This is someone that definitely needs to be on your radar, especially in PPR leagues. 7 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. With Saquon out, who was so pivotal in the pass game, there's just a bunch of targets that are going to be going around to different guys. Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, both guys that I consider league winners at this point with Daniel Jones taking over and with Saquon Barkley going to miss a few weeks. On the other side of the ball, Tampa Bay had a very good performance from Jameis Winston. He had 3 touchdowns, a pick, and 380 yards. This was kind of the performance we were just waiting to see from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they got it against a very easy Giants defense. Now, this is the offense I'm kind of expecting to see more going forward. Jameis Winston leading a high-octane passing offense. We saw a ton of Mike Evans in this game. He had 190 yards and 3 touchdowns. So if you traded him in fantasy and you were panicking, that was a big mistake. We all know what Mike Evans brings to the table. Don't trade that guy. He is going to have a good season for the rest of the year. OJ Howard, who had put up 2 goose eggs. He hadn't had any catches all season. 3 catches for 66 yards. Again, this is just more of what I'm expecting to see from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as we move forward. Now, the next game is another story of a quarterback having a very good performance, and that is Kyle Allen, who was stepping in for Cam Newton, who was dealing with a foot injury and will also miss next week as well. The Panthers won this game 38-20 with Kyle Allen leading the way. He had 4 touchdown passes and 261 yards, no interceptions for Kyle Allen. Now, I'm going to get a little bit more hate on my take about Kyle Allen than I will about Daniel Jones, because I'm not as sure about Kyle Allen being legit as I am about Daniel Jones. And I know that's going to anger a bunch of people because Kyle Allen in this game looked terrific, but the Arizona Cardinals defense is very bad. This is not a game that would have been any different if Cam Newton was the quarterback. A lot of people are saying that Kyle Allen is salvaging the team. This was going to be a win for them regardless of who was a quarterback, and probably would have had a similar outcome if Cam Newton was leading the way, maybe even more so. But what I will say, Kyle Allen did a very good job. He wasn't doing anything spectacular in my mind. He was taking what the defense gave him, a lot like Daniel Jones. He was relying on a lot of big plays after the catch, one especially by DJ Moore. And then Christian McCaffrey just had a terrific day. He had 35 yards receiving, but then he had 153 yards on the ground and a touchdown, a very long 67-yard touchdown. So I don't think that Kyle Allen is 100% legit. I'm not going to say that he can't be, but just based off this game, I'm not willing to go out there and say it, and I'm sure that Cam Newton is going to get the job back when he returns. But I will admit, it was an impressive showing from a Carolina Panthers offense that had been looking very demoralized after a few of these games. Kyler Murray, on the other hand, had another game where he was just throwing the ball a lot, way too much, I would think, for a rookie. He threw it 43 times, 30 for 43, 173 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was also the lead rusher for the Arizona Cardinals. He had 69 yards on the ground. Now, we move on to the game between the Houston Texans and the Los Angeles Chargers. The Texans won this game by a score of 27-20. Deshaun Watson led the way. He had another just terrific performance where he was really carrying this offense and just putting it all on the line. He had 351 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had a huge outing from 2 of his tight ends. Jordan Akins had a huge 53-yard touchdown, and as well as another one, he finished the day with 73 yards. And then Darren Fells had 49 yards and a touchdown. So there was a lot of help from these tight ends in this game. It was really really carried, though, by Deshaun Watson. The Houston Texans couldn't get anything going on the ground. They finished the game with only 39 yards rushing. So this one was, like I said, just a huge effort by Deshaun Watson and this pass game for the Houston Texans. Now, the Los Angeles Chargers on the other side of the ball were having a monster day from their wide receiver, Keenan Allen. Now, I will be in the game against the Chargers next week in Miami. As you guys know, if you've listened to the podcast, Keenan Allen is probably my favorite non-Dolphin player in the entire NFL. This guy's route running is on its own level. This guy is not the quickest, he is not the fastest, but he is so technically sound. His footwork is just incredible. If you're watching him, he is literally slicing through these guys with his feet. It's really incredible to watch. He had a huge day, 13 catches, 183 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Keenan Allen. Austin Eckler continues to have a very strong role with this Los Angeles Chargers offense. He had 36 yards on the ground as well as 45 through the air, but the Chargers could not get the win in this one. It was just, like I said, all Deshaun Watson for the Houston Texans. Now, we'll move on to the Sunday night game because this was a huge headline in the NFL, mostly in part due to Cleveland's shocking defeat. They lost this game 20-13. The Los Angeles Rams defeated them, and the Cleveland Browns offense just looked completely the opposite of what we were expecting when they had all these stars on the team. Now, we go to the Rams side of the ball because they won the game. Let's discuss what they did. Jared Goff had a solid performance, 269 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he did have 2 picks. Todd Gurley couldn't really get anything going, only 43 yards on the ground, but it was just a monster performance from Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. Brandon Cooks also had 112 yards, but frankly, the Rams offense, to me, even though they won the game, even though their stat line looked impressive, they should have won this game by so many more points. And in that way, they looked a little disappointing to me. There were plenty of third downs. They went 6-for-14 on third downs. They should have been way better. They gave up the ball in crucial moments. They should have beat this Browns defense that they were cutting through like butter. They were just driving down the field on these guys at will, but then the Browns would make a very good stop just at one point or somehow get the ball back. It didn't really make sense how the Rams weren't putting up 30 plus points right now on the Cleveland Browns. Now, we go to the Cleveland Browns side of the ball, and it really all begins with Baker Mayfield. I mean, Baker Mayfield looks like a completely different person from the one we saw last year. Baker Mayfield we saw last year was the guy that was advertised, the guy who was feeling dangerous, the guy who was aggressive. He was out there. This Baker Mayfield that we're seeing this season looks a little bit scared, a little bit nervous and lost a lot of the time. Now, I will admit his offensive line is atrocious. He is getting attacked behind the line of scrimmage, but it's almost like in a way, it's in the back of his mind constantly. There were a ton of times in this game where he didn't have to evade the pressure. There was no pressure, but he thought there was. I don't know if he was hearing Aaron Donald's footsteps, who had a tremendous presence in this game, but there was just plenty of times where Baker Mayfield was just abandoning the pocket when he didn't have to, and there were options open that may not be the huge play, but he would not take those. He was looking for the massive game-changing play, the highlight reel play. It seemed like every time when there were check-down routes that may not be, you know, the attractive thing, it may not be the saucy thing to do, but sometimes that is what the game plan and the flow of the game requires you to do, and it seemed like he was very reluctant to do so. So those were my thoughts on Baker Mayfield. He was just abandoning the pocket too much. He wasn't keeping his head downfield on a lot of these, and a lot of it falls on the offensive line, but Baker Mayfield, I think, needs to do a better job, and a lot of it does fall on him as well. Now, the positives, though, he was working the RPOs tremendously in this game. His connection with Odell Beckham and Nick Chubb on these RPOs was just terrific. I will give him that. When he was doing these RPOs, he was looking great. So if they could incorporate more of that into this offense, get the ball out of his hands quick, because it seems like when he's holding on to it, he wants to make a huge play. He starts thinking too much, and it just doesn't work out for Baker Mayfield. Now, Nick Chubb, he had a pretty solid day on the ground. He had 96 yards rushing. He had a touchdown that was called back because Odell was in motion. That is important because that is why I lost my fantasy football game this week, because Odell Beckham was in motion and Nick Chubb should have scored a touchdown. I lost by 1 point. That is very important. Make a mental note of that. That is why I lost in fantasy football this week. But other guys, like I said, Odell, he played way better than his stat line would suggest. He had 56 yards on 6 catches. Jarvis Landry had 3 catches for 62 yards, but a lot of it fell on Cleveland's inability to stop this Rams pressure, to stop Aaron Donald, who had a massive game, and a lot of it fell on Baker Mayfield not knowing what to do in this situation. Now we move on to the game between the Falcons and the Colts. The Colts won this game by a score of 27-24. And I have a question. What are you guys more surprised about? The Colts' success so far? Or are you more shocked by the Falcons' lack of success? Everything was flowing in this game for the Falcons, and they just could not get the win. Matt Ryan had 304 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he did have a pick. Devontae Freeman, they were finally able to get him going. He has his best game of the season with 88 yards rushing, 5.5 yards per carry. He looked great in this game. And Julio Jones had 128 yards and another touchdown this week. But this was just a very efficient game on both sides of the ball, and the Indianapolis Colts played mistake-free football, whereas the Falcons had that one interception. Jacoby Brissett, 310 yards, 2 touchdowns. He is looking very, very good. Marlon Mack had 74 yards and a touchdown. Solid performance from him. And then T.Y. Hilton continues to have success with another touchdown and 65 yards. So the Indianapolis Colts are playing their style of football. They're not doing too much. They're game managing. And you know what? They're doing a pretty darn good job at it. They have a strong defense, and if they're able to continue doing this, then maybe they will be able to sneak into the playoffs if you know, the Texans have that kind of inevitable downfall that it seems like they have every single season. So while I'm not saying the Colts are my favorite in this division, they are not. I'm still putting the Texans ahead, and the Jaguars with Gardner Minshew are probably right about the same level as the Colts, but I'm saying that the Colts are not a team that I consider in the running for this first overall pick. They're not that bad. Jacoby Brissett, as far as backup quarterbacks go, I said, is one of the best in the league. I think he is doing a very good job as a starter. Now we move on to the game, and I'm going to speed it up a little bit between the Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. The Chiefs won this one by a score of 33-28, and of course, it was all Patrick Mahomes. This guy is never going to slow down. His arm is incredible. He plays football like he's a little kid. It looks very easy for him. It looks too easy for him, frankly, but you know what? He's going to continue doing so. I wouldn't bet against Patrick Mahomes any day of the week. He is just that good. He finished the game 374 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was spreading the ball a lot. He had Travis Kelce incorporated in there with 89 yards, and then he had Mecole Hardman with 97 yards and a touchdown. All of that was from a big 83-yard catch, but like I said, it doesn't really matter who the Chiefs have out there. They have tremendous weapons. I think Hardman is one of the more underrated guys. He is a speedster like Tyreek Hill is. Go pick him up if you haven't in fantasy. He is that guy. But man, Mahomes could make a star out of just about anybody, and that is how you need to view this Chiefs offense. We go to the other side of the ball. Lamar Jackson kind of came down to earth a little bit. It wasn't a downright bad performance like a lot of people seem to think it was. A lot of people are treating it like he was an absolute bust in this game. He was not, but he didn't look as superhero-esque, as perfect as he was in the games before. He finished the game with 267 yards, and he did have a rushing touchdown as well as 46 yards on the ground. If there's anything to take away, though, from this Ravens offense, it was a Mark Ingram had a huge day. He finished with 103 yards and 3 touchdowns. So again, fantasy-wise, Mark Ingram probably won you your game this week. Now we move on to the game between the Bills and the Bengals. The Bengals won this game by a score of 21-17, and they move up to 3-0. And Bills fans should be considered a threat to society when the team is at 3-0. I've been watching videos of those guys just body slamming each other onto tables. These guys need to be monitored right now. I don't think the Bills should be allowed to be playing this well because the fans just get a little bit too out of control over there in Buffalo. Now, of course, I'm just kidding around, but the Buffaloes did look pretty good in this game. Josh Allen, 243 yards. He had a touchdown as well as 46 yards on the ground. Frank Gore came up with the game-winning touchdown. It was a very solid outing from Frank Gore, the man who never ages, who found the fountain of youth. He had 76 yards and a touchdown, 5.4 yards per carry. Now, the Bengals are a team that has, in my mind, the potential to be the worst team in the league, if not the Dolphins. The Dolphins, in my mind, run away with the competition, but the Bengals are right there at the number two or number three overall pick in my mind. They're 0-3. Andy Dalton is not playing well. He had one touchdown, two picks, both of them to Tre'Davious White, one of them to seal the game. But the Bengals just cannot get anything going. They're somebody that I would be a little bit worried about as a Dolphins fan, because if they get the first overall pick, everybody on the outside can see that Andy Dalton is not the guy. I think the Bengals are now coming to that conclusion, and by the end of the season, people will be banging at the gates to get a new quarterback. So hopefully the Bengals don't get the first overall pick and they get Tua, but I do think they are going to have a high overall pick, and there's like a 99% chance that they're going to be going with a quarterback when they go up to the podium. Now we move on to the game between the Jets and the Patriots. The Patriots won this game by a score of 30-14. Now, guys, I'm not saying this as a biased Dolphins fan, somebody who's bitter about Adam Gase leaving. I do think it was time for him to leave. I do think that he was overhyped as a coach and as a quarterback whisperer, as an offensive guru. And that's where I'm going to be kind of coming from on a lot of this. Why does Adam Gase have this title of being an offensive guru? I've never seen, it's like people didn't pay attention to his whole tenure in Miami. He definitely lost that title of offensive guru. He should not be considered that. His offense revolves around these painfully short plays and just very tiny chipping away that's just really, really painful to watch. The Jets in this game had 105 total yards in this game. That's enough for me to say, hey man, never refer to Adam Gase as an offensive guru again. And now I'm not going to be naive to the fact that Sam Darnold, their starting quarterback, is out. Trevor Siemian, their backup quarterback, broke his leg. But still, this is just too much ineptitude for me to say that none of it falls on coach Adam Gase. You have to be furious if you are a Jets fan right now. The team is 0-3. You bet a lot on the current roster. You went out and you got a ton of free agents. You got Le'Veon Bell. You got CJ Mosley. You broke the bank for a lot of these guys. And then the team comes out looking like this. Now, I did say a lot during the preseason, when Sam Darnold's out there, the offense flows pretty well. And I think a lot of it revolves around his chemistry with Jamison Crowder and feeding him and getting Le'Veon Bell involved. And I do expect the offense to look better. But if it's not a tremendous leap when Sam Darnold returns, if I'm a Jets fan, I would be absolutely furious at the way that Adam Gase is handling the team. Now, from the Patriots side of the ball, it's just more of what you would expect from Tom Brady. He finished with 306 yards, two touchdowns. Rex Burkhead surprisingly led the way in terms of rushing. He had 47 yards and a touchdown. As to kind of beat the drum on this, you can never bet on which running back is going to be the guy in New England from a game-to-game basis. If you're in that situation in fantasy football, try to trade your way out of it when Sony Michel has a big game or when James White has a big game, unless it's PPR. But I would still just not feel confident about which one of these guys is going to be the lead back in every single game. You just never know. And then Josh Gordon had a pretty solid outing with 83 yards, and he had a couple of very nice Calvin Johnson-esque sort of catches in this game. Now we move on to the game between the Vikings and the Raiders. The Vikings won this game by a score of 34-14. Now I'm kind of proud in this game because I had Adam Thielen as one of my bold booms. Now he didn't necessarily have this tremendous outing, but he had 55 yards and he did have a touchdown, so that was pretty good. Dalvin Cook continues to be probably the most explosive running back in the NFL right now. 110 yards on the ground and a touchdown, and then he added another 33 receiving yards. Dalvin Cook is just unstoppable right now for the Minnesota Vikings. Now we go to the Oakland Raiders side of the ball. The surprising thing is that Josh Jacobs was actually outsnapped by Jalen Richard. Now that's not something that I would be necessarily too worried about. That's mostly due to the flow of this game and being behind. But I do think that Josh Jacobs will look a lot better as we move forward from a fantasy perspective. One guy to note for the Oakland Raiders, if you have Darren Waller on your team, this is a guy who is potentially a league winner. If you have him available on your waivers, go out and pick Darren Waller up right now. There are not many weapons in Oakland. They're going to be behind a good amount of the time, and it seems like Derek Carr loves throwing to Darren Waller, the tight end. He had 14 targets, 13 catches, 134 yards. And now another very important note, make sure you write this down. I had Darren Waller on my bench. He had 20-some points for me, and TJ Hawkinson I had him in my starting lineup. He had one catch for 1 yard. So really, it just have that ingrained in your mind. I started TJ Hawkinson over Darren Waller. I lost by 1 point. Very important. Now, we move on to the next game, and that was between the Packers and the Broncos. Packers won this game by a score of 27-16. Aaron Rodgers had a solid performance, I guess. Not really. He had 235 yards and a touchdown. Marquez Valdez-Scantling had another big week for the Packers. 99 yards and a touchdown for Valdez-Scantling. But it was on the Broncos side, at least from a fantasy perspective, where there was somebody who just had a monster performance, and that was Philip Lindsay. He had 81 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns and another 49 through the air. So if you had Philip Lindsay, this was a very good week for him. I'm not a big believer in Philip Lindsay long term. I do think he will sprinkle in some of these very good games. I do think he's a very talented back despite being sort of undersized. He's very gritty, but I do think that there's sort of kind of a competition between him and Royce Freeman that could end up being bigger than a lot of people would hope, especially if you drafted Philip Lindsay relatively early in your draft. I just do think that Royce Freeman is going to have a bigger role going forward. Now, we move on to the game between the Eagles and the Lions. The Lions, surprisingly to me, won this game by a score of 27-24. Now, the Lions do have a tie, but they have not lost yet, which is surprising to me because I had them as one of my worst teams in the NFL this year. But you know what? It's a long season, and I'm willing to bet that they somehow find a way to mess it up. But you know what? In this game in particular, I will lay off the Lions. They found a way to get a win against this Eagles defense that had been looking pretty good before. And then Carson Wentz had 2 weeks where he struggled early on but seemed to bounce back. He was not able to do so in this week. Now, Matt Stafford threw the ball 32 times. He had 201 yards and only 1 touchdown. Marvin Jones was the lead receiver for the Lions, 101 yards and a touchdown. Carson Wentz, on the other hand, 259 yards and 2 touchdowns. The main note here to take away from the Eagles, fantasy-wise, Miles Sanders has finally, I guess, pseudo-arrived. He's somewhat arrived. Not quite there yet. You might still be able to snag him in a trade, but he had 53 yards rushing, and he had 73 yards receiving. So, Miles Sanders, he has issues fumbling the ball. He did in this game as well. But you know what? If you can go out and get Miles Sanders still for cheap, this may be the last time you could do so, because I really think he's going to have a big second half of the season, and that could end up starting even sooner than that. So Miles Sanders, one of my bets of a guy to just have a really explosive performance once he takes over this role from Jordan Howard. Now we move on to the game between the Saints and the Seattle Seahawks. Saints won this game by a score of 33-27, and frankly, this game should not have been allowed to get that close. And it got that close because of a lot of success on the Seahawks part, and in what I would consider to be garbage time. Russell Wilson had 2 touchdowns passing, 406 yards, but you know what? He had 2 touchdowns rushing and 51 yards rushing. So if you had Russell Wilson in your fantasy league this week, unless you're me, because I started Russell Wilson and I lost by 1 point. Now, okay, I'll move on. I'll drop that. I'll never mention that again. But a huge game from the Saints, Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara, it looks absolutely unstoppable. He had 69 yards rushing, a touchdown on the ground. He had another touchdown through the air and 92 yards receiving. And Alvin Kamara, he is not somebody that you would expect to be kind of a wrecking ball. You would think that with his build, he's somebody who is more shifty, more elusive, but he is looks like he's shot out of a cannon every time, and he is like a mini beast mode, which is not something that I expected from Alvin Kamara. This is just one of the best running backs in the league. Probably the most fun running back to watch right now is Alvin Kamara. He is carrying a Saints offense. This was just an impressive individual performance from Alvin Kamara. Teddy Bridgewater had 177 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was kind of playing his kind of typical game manager sort of role in this game. Now we move on to the game between the Redskins and the Bears. This was on Monday night. The Bears won this game by a score of 31-15. As expected, the Bears defense was tremendous. Khalil Mack was tremendous. There's nothing that's going to change there for the Bears defense. But what was important was the progress made by Mitch Trubisky in this game. He was 25 for 31, 3 touchdowns. All of them came to Taylor Gabriel, who had a huge performance, 6 catches, 75 yards, those 3 touchdowns. He did end up leaving the game with a concussion, but like I said, huge game from Mitch Trubisky, very important bounce back performance from him. Now, again, this is not something that I was convinced by just on a single game performance. I'm not convinced yet. I need to see this a few more times. I think Trubisky got hot last season. I was very big on him. But you know what? He looks so bad early on this season that I'm going to need to see this maybe one or two more times before I hop back on that bandwagon. I'm still a little bit concerned about Trubisky. Now, the Redskins side of the ball, Case Keenum had a very rough performance. Frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback next week. He should be, in my mind. 332 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had 3 picks as well as 2 fumbles in this game. So like I said, Dwayne Haskins should take over. One thing to note from the Washington Redskins side is that Terry McLaurin, who has had a touchdown, the rookie out of Ohio State, has had a touchdown every single week. And if you follow the Redskins beat writers, this is somebody that they are absolutely obsessed with, and they've been clamoring on it. I wasn't really buying in. I would see his name there, here and there, but I never really thought too much of it. But he is the number one receiver for the Redskins, and he is going to hold that role likely for the season. He has that camaraderie with Dwayne Haskins. Apparently, when Dwayne Haskins was drafted, he said, go out and get one of my guys. The Redskins went out there, and they got Terry McLaurin. So you don't really have to worry a fantasy perspective about his volume going down. He's going to have his old quarterback back with him. Terry McLaurin, his route running is incredible. He has about as sure hands as you could want. He's just a reliable receiver. Another game with a touchdown. He had 70 yards receiving. This is somebody that if he could do this against the Bears defense, I'm not really sure about what week you decide to bench a guy like Terry McLaurin. He is just looking that good, and being on a team that is going to be down so frequently and him having such little competition that could get him such a high amount of volume makes Terry McLaurin jump into that conversation where he is somebody that you kind of just plug in there and play him almost every single week. He is looking that good for the Washington Redskins. Now we move on to the last game, and that is going to be the one between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers won this game by a score of 24-20, and this was a game about who wanted to win the game less. This was really painful to watch. It looked like the Steelers had it, then it looked like the 49ers had it, and the 49ers just didn't want it, and then, you know what, they ended up getting the win 24-20. They move on to a very ugly kind of 3-0, one that I'm not really buying into just yet, but the Steelers going to 0-3. Dolphin fans, you have to be extremely happy with hearing that. That draft pick looks a little bit nicer. I'm still a little bit concerned about the schedule, but you know what? At the very least, that is going to be a very solid pick for the Miami Dolphins. So Mason Rudolph, 14-27, 174 yards and 2 touchdowns, but 174 yards, well, guess what? 76 came on one big play to Juju Smith-Schuster. So everything before then was just inefficiency. So I'm not buying into Mason Rudolph just yet. I had a Steeler fan in my comments saying that Mason Rudolph was the heir. He was drafted with the intention to do so. You don't really know what he brings to the table. Well, we're all still feeling this situation out. And frankly, I'm not willing to bet on Mason Rudolph, especially after how he looked in this game in particular. As for the other side of the ball, the San Francisco 49ers got a pretty solid performance from their offense. And Jimmy Garoppolo, 277 yards. He had a touchdown. He had 2 picks. Jeff Wilson, huge fantasy performance. He had 8 carries for 18 yards, but wait, 2 touchdowns as well. And then fullback Kyle Juszczyk had a very nice stiff arm on former Dolphin Minkah Fitzpatrick, which kind of brings me to this thing I want to touch on just a little bit, was that a lot of Dolphin fans are very quick to hate on Minkah Fitzpatrick. This guy barely left the team. He, you know, requested a trade. He got traded. I understand hating on that. But to call him a bad player because he got stiff-armed once, that's something that kind of comes off as a little bit corny to me. I can acknowledge that I don't like a player because of what they did to a certain team or how they act or something like that. But I'm not going to say that they are a bad player because I don't like what they did or I don't like their personality or something like that. I'm able to distinguish between the two. I can say that Antonio Brown, his antics off the field, his personality, everything regarding him kind of as a person rubs off on me the wrong way. But when it comes to him on the field, he is one of the top receivers in the entire NFL. So to go back to Minkah Fitzpatrick, to say he's bad because he got stiff-armed and all this stuff, it just comes off to me as really hurt in a way. It comes off as overly dramatic and kind of, it's really corny to me to say a player is bad just because he left the team you root for. I can still acknowledge, while I, you know, would hate if a player that I like goes to the Patriots, that they still may be a good player. But yet it seems like a lot of sports fans can't or are not willing to make that distinction. And I know it stems from not liking the player because of what he did to your team, and I can understand that, but it just comes across to me as sort of bitter, kind of ridiculous, when you're just going out and flat saying a player is bad from one day to the next because they're wearing a different uniform. I just don't see how that works out. But guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow the podcast's Twitter, which I've been using a lot more. That is at Via The Source. And I've been uploading YouTube videos, which I'll try to do more frequently, but it's hard to kind of get around all the copyright stuff in regard to NFL highlights. But I'll try to do more of that, and maybe a face reveal if you guys really want to see my face, I guess. But yeah, subscribe to me on Twitter if you like. Of course, that is at Via The Source. But guys, that's how I'm going to wrap it up. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.